And it's on.
Okay.
Jeremy.
Hello.
Hi.
Alright, should I start?
Yeah.
Alright. Chapter 2. My pie, my pie! I breathed like John Wayne breathed in Hondo. I thought I was going to vomit. Then I started eating more pie. My teeth couldn't get enough pie. Do my teeth know this pie? I thought about that for a second before I started eating again. If my teeth didn't know this pie, at least my clavicle did. My clavicle had once been a young Jewish boy dressed in white shoes. And the rest, well, the rest is pie. Hey, look! The pie was talking. I let my fingers travel all over it, but it didn't have white shoes, and I didn't know the difference between Meshuggah and Rashomon's, unless it was five. My dad suddenly lunged at me. It was a large lunge and left me feeling glad to be alive. That and the sun rising is always beautiful. You only got my shoe, Dad. My fingers still work. The bad thing about it was that one second he's lunging at my shoes, and the next second he's trying to break my fingers. What a some bitch. You're lucky you still have your fingers, Mike. Dad had a prosthetic palm that he used when he hit me upside the head. Why do you think you still have them? I didn't know what to say, but I tried anyway. Fuck you, I mumbled. You creepy, corpulent piece of crap. I obviously didn't want to hear any more of his shit. I wanted a prize for having the classiest escalator. I wanted bales of hay and cartons of collagen, and I wanted them at my door. I wanted them at my door, and I wanted to shake my rump. Prepare salad, take my escalator to La Canada. But me, no buts. My old shoes are in the dryer and not on the escalator where they should be, where no one has the gall to talk back to me. Old man Spellman walked in, decked out like a jaded houseplant. I already stopped resoiling my shoes. Now I was re-velcroing them. I'd feel better if you lent me some charcoal. You can always tell when old man Spellman has been smoking the wacky tobacco. First off, he's a general pain in the ass. But this time he wasn't hissing. I don't think he was even breathing. At least I didn't hear him breathing. Old man Spellman tended to be a bit emotional. His blue eyes were slowly becoming mandibles. His somnambulism was quickly becoming agitated, and his blatantly white bigotry was becoming agonizingly problematic. I should have kicked the shit out of him when we were playing pool. Have you visited my misery lately? He asked me. Look what the door dragged in. Last week, the door dragged in Stanley and a refrigerator repairman who had gotten off on the wrong escalator. What do you do when you get off on the wrong coffin? No, old man Spellman said. No is not an acceptable answer, I exclaimed. No was not meant for you! No was meant for etiquette books, like when you bring an enormous bag of tree bark to a party and ask everyone to pour dirt on it. Yes, yes, that's proper etiquette, like talking about the Spanish Inquisition with the Doonesbury character as etiquette. Old man Spellman was frothing at the hand. This much I know already, Mike. This much I know, and much more. Oh yeah, like what? If I don't know what I'm saying... He started thinking I was interested in what he was saying. Old man Spellman had zeros for eyes. Yes, that's it, that's it! He pushed the salt shaker all over his pie. If I don't know what I'm saying, then the comic strip Doonesbury isn't ripped off from the works of Hunter Thomas Aquinas. He had pronounced the name as if it should have had some significance for me. But I didn't know Doonesbury from my asshole. Old man Spellman shook his head. Don't you know the history of Doonesbury? It was a really bad comic strip. It stunk up the joint. It talked when it should have been drawing. It drew when it should have been talking. But the worst part was how it ripped off St. Hunter Thomas Aquinas with all that talk about cowboy dentists and souped-up drum dairies. I made the sign of the cross. But that's good, isn't it? It's just what old man Trudeau would want, souped-up dromedaries getting their teeth yanked. Yes, it's also what your dad would want. Miserable old man Spellman wouldn't know a Brillo pad from a sterno. Ask me if I know anything about history. It's possible that he would have blabbed for most of the night if I'd asked that. But I was smart enough to know that I didn't want to be captive to his attention. I told old man Spellman that he should manage Tire and Feminine Product Store. And the rest would be history? Mr. Spellman smelled the irony. Great. Now I'm sure to be little more than nothing, he said. He hissed in a gesture that raised more questions than it did hands. I'll be the only fossil in the firmament. I'll be in heaven, but the person who should be in hell is Sir Thomas, because he's very bad. And I'm predestined to wear bad shirts. Oh, the pain of being poor. Poor? That word moved up and down my spine like a bedbug. Bad shirts, that was something I couldn't imagine. But imagining was also something I couldn't imagine, except when I'm dreaming up answers to math tests. Then I can imagine my friend Pete telling everyone in the world that I love Sarah Medlow, and then, even worse, telling everyone that I'm Carly's brother. At least everyone wearing a bad shirt. But poor? I'm being so clear, I could swear that I'm on fire. Don't you think we should set the museum on fire? Old man Spellman looked at me. He had brio pads instead of eyes. I knew a bigot when one moved in front of me. How about we set your nose on fire instead? How about that? How dare you threaten me like that, Mike? And to think, I was going to give you my secret recipe for baked manatee. What was I thinking? You're not going to grow up to be preoccupied like your dad, and you're not going to grow up to be a sea urchin like Carly. If I had an arm for every inch alive, I knew it was coming, so I looked out the window. What are you watching? Old man Spellman was an ass, as an uncle. The detectives? What are you talking about? Are you comparing Julio Cesar Chavez to Cesar Chavez? Perfect! Chalk went up to the old guy's manhood. I is not preoccupied, Mr. Spellman, I told him. I is an integer. And I, Spellman froze in mid-spelling bee, I'm a protozoa. Mr. Protozoa to you. Get it? Got it. Good. There wasn't a slimier punk on the porch. There weren't two slimier punks with secret recipes for manatee under glass. We had come to see each other as refrigerator repairmen with secret recipes for camel. We enjoyed each other's company. Dad didn't know what to do at this moment, or at any moment. He was like Jack Palance, always arriving when the coffee's cold. Even when he was meeting with this or that robber baron, he'd end up empty-handed. When he tried to object, they'd put tape over his mouth and tell him to shut the fuck up. Meanwhile, Dad would push money at him for a lap dance, but old man Spellman would just pull the tape tighter around Dad's mouth. When Dad lost consciousness, they'd pull the tape off and then sit on him like a churro. When it came straight down to it, Dad didn't have much to say. But what he did say was enough to kill the living dead. All of that, plus the costumes he wore, made me very nervous. I'd been eating saltines all day, and I felt like a cold cup of coffee. I was all emotional, and I didn't know how to shut up. My poor Finn Dad and Old Man Spellman only wished they could tap into my cold coffee. They kicked me and put coins into me, but I wouldn't give them coffee. I wouldn't even breathe.
Nope.
Carly had to breathe for me. So I wasn't inclined to shut up, and I looked like a cup of dental coffee. Actually, I looked more like a cup of embalming fluid, paper and plastic. Paper, Carly said, as if she were suddenly disillusioned with me. Dad sawed right through her. It's not paper, Carly, he said. And if it was, would you shake hands with a paper bag? Me, Carly said, sending chills down everyone's spine. Is it anyone else such a meathead? Dad asked her. No way, she responded. It was obvious she was being terrorized, but it was more like a funeral than any normal terrorizing. A large coffee, no matter how cold, wasn't going to be enough. I thought that quizzing Carly on her parenthetical habits would be a misery worse than misery itself. I knew that I was contradicting my own butt. I knew that I was... I knew I was leaving, and it was on a mango special and not an airplane. Wait a minute. Where's my large coffee? Donde está mi café grande? In my brazen desperateness, I had started thinking in the language of the mountains. Paper peoples. Tiresias. The paper people had been crushed under a media avalanche of torn bits of solid goo. I had come to their country to change the media, its brazenness and its fixation on dental hygiene. I believe that nothing exists, I told everyone. This despite my deep belief in almost everything. I think you're a girl. I think you're a girl, sucker. I looked at Carly intending to call her a sucker and a borracho the next time I saw her. But now, or now, I had had enough. And there was no lady jabbing me in the ear. The end.
Thanks, David.
You're welcome.